Coming up on KUCB News, Penn Air files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and witness hearings begin in the FV destination investigation. Stay tuned.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, August 7th, 2017. The largest air carrier in Southwest Alaska has filed for bankruptcy protection. Danny Siebert is the CEO of Penn Air.
Penn Air late last night filed for reorganization under Chapter 11, and there's a number of reasons for this. I won't go into all the reasons, but we're going to reorganize the company. We're shutting down our Portland and our Denver operations immediately, and we're going to focus on the state of Alaska.
Siebert says the Chapter 11 reorganization will not affect scheduled flights in Alaska, where the company serves 8 communities, including Unalaska, Sandpoint, and St. Paul. Penn Air's Boston flights won't be affected either, but the airline is closing operations in Portland and Denver. Siebert says he expanded into those markets as he tried to turn the regional air carrier into a wider-ranging airline.
That isn't working out for us, so we have to reorganize and focus on what made us successful in the past, which is Alaska.
The bankruptcy filing comes 2 months after Penn Air canceled daily freight service to Unalaska, citing declining revenue from its contract with the U.S. Postal Service. It also comes 2 years after Penn Air spent $27 million on 5 Saab 2000s, which replaced the smaller Saab 340s in most of the region. Siebert has repeatedly said Penn Air is committed to serving Southwest Alaska in the long term. Beyond that, he says the company's next steps are still undecided.
There may be some equipment changes. You might see more 340s in the market versus the larger airplanes, but that hasn't been decided yet.
Penn Air has already sold their 340 airplanes. Over the winter, the newer 2000s were plagued by mechanical cancellations as the company posted the worst reliability rates in its history. Starting today, the U.S. Coast Guard is holding 2 weeks of public hearings as part of its investigation into the sinking of the FV destination. All 6 crew members died when the crab boat disappeared in February near St. George Island, marking the deadliest accident in more than a decade for the Bering Sea crab fleet. The vessel's wreckage was finally located last month, but investigators are still trying to determine why the destination sank. This week, Coast Guard officials will interview witnesses about the state of the vessel, as well as the human and weather factors that may have played a role in the sinking. The Coast Guard is live streaming the hearings in Seattle every day from 5 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, Alaska time. For a link to the live stream, visit KUCB.org. Unalaska has experienced 3 entangled whales in the last 2 years. There used to be only one person on the island who could respond to those incidents, but thanks to a recent training, a new response team is in place. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Zoe Sobel has the story.
On a sunny Tuesday night, about a dozen people are gathered on a dock. They're practicing the skills needed to free a stranded whale.
Whales up!
Whales up!
Looks like a head knot. It's gonna go down, though.
Going for throw!
Goes good! You're in!
Up from Hawaii to lead the course is Ed Lyman. As a large whale entanglement response coordinator, he has a lot of experience freeing entangled whales. He's in town for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, working to build Unalaska's response team.
I mean, here we are at Dutch Harbor and you know, fishermen galore, right? Capital for fishing in many ways in the U.S. And so you've got a lot of skill sets there already, but I will point out that trying to cut free a 40-ton whale is unique.
Reports of entangled whales are increasing nationwide. According to the National Marine Fisheries Service, last year there were 20 confirmed entanglements in Alaska, compared to 3 in the year 2000. Until now, there was only one person in Unalaska trained to approach distressed marine mammals. That means if more help was needed, a team from the Marine Mammal Stranding Network would have to fly in. Emily Gibson is part of the new crop of responders. She's an environmental compliance manager at a local seafood processor, but says she's taking part in the class as a fisherman and resident.
We spend a lot of time on the water in the summer and, you know, interact with whales and sea whales, so we're kind of the first line of defense against these entanglements and trying to mount a response to help whales that might be in trouble out here.
Because of the potential risks to humans and marine mammals, NOAA Fisheries approves responses on a case-by-case basis. Having responders from different areas of expertise, Lyman says, is key to success.
Boy, throw a whale biologist and a fisherman together, it's the perfect team to cut a whale free. I mean, the whale biologist knows the whale behavior. The fisherman knows gear, knows the ocean, knows the boats, things of that nature. And you're putting two skill sets together to make a great team. It works, believe me.
By sharing his knowledge, Lyman hopes to protect whales while keeping humans safe. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
If you see a marine mammal in distress, report the sighting to the Unalaska Department of Public Safety at 581-1233 or call the Marine Mammal Stranding Network at 877-925-773. Last month, while Senator Lisa Murkowski was in the national spotlight for defying her party on health care, Alaska's other senator, Dan Sullivan, stuck to the party line and attracted little attention. This was hardly the first time they've split their votes. As APRN's Liz Ruskin reports, the two senators vote opposite one another more than most Republican pairs from the same state.
Murkowski is getting all kinds of disapproval on social media from people who say she betrayed the party when she voted with Democrats to preserve the Affordable Care Act. She made no apologies, saying she fended off a hard sell at the White House.
I made a statement to the president with my colleagues and with his team there that I'm not voting for the Republican Party. I'm voting for the people of Alaska.
She and Sullivan both say they vote for what's right for Alaska, but their votes differ about 6% of the time. If that doesn't sound like a lot, keep in mind that a good deal of Senate votes are nearly unanimous, and most of the rest follow party lines. If you rank all 52 Republican senators according to how often they've voted against the majority of their party this year, Murkowski is number 4. She zigged while the rest of the Republicans zagged 11 times, often on hot-button issues. She voted against President Trump's Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos. She voted to continue Medicaid payments to Planned Parenthood. And she voted to allow Americans to buy cheaper prescription drugs from Canada. Sullivan and most other Republicans voted the opposite way. He's voted with the majority of his party nearly 99% of the time. Twice he voted against, once to object to NASA's use of Russian-made rockets, another time to support a non-binding statement on the importance of Medicaid expansion. Of the 20 states that have two Republican senators, Alaska is near the top of the list for vote disagreement. Only Arizona and Kentucky's Republican senators disagree with each other more. Congressional scholar Norm Ornstein at the American Enterprise Institute says the differences between the two Alaska senators were on full display during the health care proceedings last month.
For a lot of us who've watched the Senate, it was a puzzle that while she was very direct in standing up for a large group of Alaskans deeply affected by the Medicaid cuts, he said nothing and voted with Mitch McConnell.
As Ornstein sees it, it goes back to Murkowski's re-election of 2010, when she lost the Republican primary and won the general on a write-in with no party help. She was re-elected in the conventional way last year, but Ornstein says 2010 proves she's popular enough in Alaska that she doesn't have to worry about conservative groups like Club for Growth or Heritage Action making too much headway against her.
She feels a greater level of independence, I think, from some of those tribal pressures of the party. And Sullivan appears to be much more willing to succumb to those tribal pressures.
Sullivan scoffs at the suggestion that he votes as he does out of party loyalty.
No, I vote my mind and my conscience.
He says the Republicans have a good team in the Senate, so he's not surprised his votes are in line. He says he's met with every cabinet secretary he's voted for, and deputy secretaries and assistant secretaries. And he was proud to vote to repeal 14 regulations of the Obama years. And Sullivan says he was working hard behind the scenes to make the health care bill better for Alaskans, with more Medicaid money and a national fund for addiction and mental health treatment.
I spent 7 months and 90% of my time on health care, but we'll keep working.
Sullivan points out he and Murkowski have both voted with their party more than 9 out of 10 times, so they're not that far apart. Anchorage conservative talk show host Dave Stearin says Alaska's Republican Party spans a lot of ideological ground, and the senators represent different camps within it.
Sullivan tending to be a bit more dogmatic in regards to conservative principles. Senator Murkowski is, as you know, as some of her critics have described her, she's not conservative.
Stearin says callers to his show were pretty mad after Murkowski voted against Republican health care efforts, but he doesn't think it'll hurt her.
People are angry. You know, oh, I'm so upset with her. I can't believe she did this. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they were never fans of hers and may have never voted for her to begin with.
The Senate is now on its August recess. Next month, the Senate Health Committee plans to hold bipartisan hearings on how to fix particular problems in the Affordable Care Act. Murkowski is a member of that committee, and it's what she's wanted all year. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.